This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parsha Shalach, and we begin by reading Shlach Lecha and Hashem, send people for yourself. Rashi explains that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem wasn't commanding and demanding Meraglim, but just that if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to, he could send them. So Shlomo of Zvil compared this to a person who set up a shidduch for his daughter and then told the son-in-law not to date too much because it'll eventually hurt the shidduch. This, of course, it certainly appears in the Bamidbar Rabbah as well. So here too, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, when you send Meraglim, Hashem said he wasn't so scared about the trip, but that it displayed a lack of faith in the relationship and that even great people fail in their faith in the land of Israel. Somebody has a responsibility in life not to look for perfection. Too much time spent looking for problems are going to bring up things that aren't really problems, and the person's going to become focused on those things, and this was something that Moshe Rabbeinu was cautioned by God not to let happen. We're told, Kulam Anashim Rashei B'nai Yisrael Hema. We know that all these distinguished men were heads of B'nai Yisrael, so how do leaders make such a colossal error? Slaker Rosh Hashiva, founder of the Hesder movement, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldberg, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, explained that as leaders, they felt the responsibility for the benefit of the people. They were afraid that entering the land would represent a step down from the spiritual level that they were accustomed to in the desert. Now, from a pragmatic perspective, they were correct that their level of spirituality would go down, but they didn't understand that our role in this world is to serve Hashem through the many difficulties that exist in the material world. When it says in the Zohar that they would lose their office, they weren't concerned about their personal good. They thought that a change in the way of life would require different types of leadership. And so they didn't succeed in understanding that Hashem wanted them to prepare themselves for a new reality. The reason is that only one who received the necessary preparation needed in the desert can later succeed in Eretz Yisrael. And the proof for this success is Yoshua ben Nun, who became the leader of Am Yisrael when they entered the land. Each and every generation needs to try to correct the sins of the Meraglim. We live in a difficult time period with the dangers from within and without, and we must believe that it's possible to deal with all the challenges and not to run away from them. Since Eretz Yisrael nicknames B'Yisurin, Eretz Yisrael is acquired through difficulty. So when we approach reality through the Torah and belief, the work becomes much easier, just as Yoshua and Kaleb didn't give up, even though they were in the minority and they tried to persuade the rest of the people. We also have to go in those footsteps, even though we're in the minority, and we have a responsibility to do what we can. And we're told, of course, Yoshua and Kalev, they tore their garments. Now, why doesn't Yoshua get rewarded the way that Kalev does? And why doesn't Kalev get the leadership that Yoshua does? So Rav Yashas Zatzal explained that Kalev hid his impressions and thoughts, but his intentions were in Sakana, so he davened himself away from the danger. And so, therefore, he gets rewarded by himself, away from the danger. Yoshua used the opportunity to grow in his leadership capacity even when he was in a situation of sakana. Therefore, Yoshua becomes the leader. So Moshe Rabbeinu davens. And how does Moshe Rabbeinu daven? He says, Hashem, Erech Apayim V'Rav Chesed. Now, the first time the Yud Gimel Midos are used with Chet HaEgel, it's not Hashem Erech Apayim, but rather Hashem Hashem. There's a reference of the double phrase. So the Rachaim HaKadosh says that here there was no opportunity of Hashem Kodem Achet. By Chet HaEgel, we're told Hashem Kodem Achet, Hashem La'achar Achet. Here, the people had already sinned by the Egel, and so therefore there was no Kodem Achet, there was no prior to sin. Rabbi David Holzer, Shalita, added that today we also tend to sin, thinking that we're not always Kodem Achet, which is what holds us back from getting involved in tshuva. We don't even see previous sin. It's a major danger in our lives. We have to understand we're not perfect, and we weren't perfect. And we need to go ahead and do tshuva even for previous things, and it will certainly set us up in the right direction. So Moshe Rabbeinu gets told by Hashem, Ad Masai La'eda Hara Hazos. God says to Moshe, how long for this Eda? Rishati used to highlight to us that it's fascinating that the concept of minyan is derived from this group of 12 Meraglim, minus Yoshua and Kalev. And how is it that we have to utilize the concept of Tzibor from 10 failing spies? That idea that we learn from the people who do the wrong thing, that we are supposed to do the right thing, that's incredible. So Rav Shechter used to explain to us that perhaps what the Chachamim had in mind with this derivation was the following. The Rambam writes that we have halachos that are based on the premise that only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are included in Klal Yisrael. All the millions of the people who live in Chutz La'aretz, they're considered to be individuals, they're Yechidim. Those who live in Chutz La'aretz but view Eretz Yisrael as their national homeland, so they're part of Klal Yisrael, but they don't get the voting rights. And the din of Kiddush Hashem Barabbim really should have required the presence of all of Am Yisrael. But we understand when there's a minyan of Jews, they represent Klal Yisrael, and the Shekhinah is present there. So Shachti used to say to us, based on this derivation, maybe the reason why we learn the idea of Kiddush Shem Shamayim only from the Meraglim is that since after Yetzias Mitzrayim, they were the only Jews who had stepped in Eretz Yisrael. They became the authentic Jews. And of course, they were the ones whose opinion counted. And unfortunately, they failed in the process. After the episode of the Meraglim, we read a bunch of different mitzvos, and then one point in time, towards the end of the parasha, we're told, Vayimtzu ish mekoshish eitzim biyom haShabbos. Bnei Yisrael went out, and they found somebody who was chopping wood, he was gathering wood on Shabbos. And the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, notes that the intentions of the mekoshish were noble. And so why is he treated differently than Yael? Yael Eishas Chever Akeni, who got schar for her activities with Sisera, even though what she did was also wrong. Right, so Rav Zalman Saratzkin Zatzal, the famous Lutzker Rav, explains that we could have learned these Hilchos Shabbos without the fireworks or the blaze of glory. The Mekoshesh didn't do that. He needed to make a big splash. And so therefore, Hashem makes a big splash with him. And so he pays with his life. Finally, at the end of the parasha, we're told about the parasha of Tzitzis. And we're told, Vasulaim Tzitzis al Kanfei Bigdehem Lederosam. They're supposed to put tzitzis on their garments. Now, if the tzitzis are so important that they are compared to kol mitzvos Hashem, then why is wearing them voluntary? So the great Gaon Rav Asher Weiss Shalita explained that tzitzis is an abdus. Tzitzis, by definition, is a sign of servitude. For his Tosfos in Menachos on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis explains, the tzitzis symbolizes a kabbalas or malchus shamayim coming together with an acceptance of mitzvos. I'm accepting the malchus shamayim. But a person has to do the acceptance of the mitzvah of tzitzis. And since that is the case, they're compared to the mitzvahs, but that acceptance makes the mitzvah voluntary, and therefore, one, through the voluntary acceptance, is mishabed, puts himself and sort of directly connects himself to the greater idea. Finally, in the Haftorah, which comes from Sefer Yehoshua, we're told about Tauridein Bachevel Ba'arach Alon, that she let them down through the court in the window in the wall. And the Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis notes that Rachav Hazona called out to Hashem to allow her to atone for the sins of the string, the window, and the wall. In other words, that the men who used to come to visit her for her special services also used that same string, that window, and that wall. And it was this call for forgiveness that led to her tshuva and her reward of 8 Nevi'im and Kohanim. However, wasn't the sins of the string, rope, and wall the smallest of her sins? What about her lifestyle in general? And why does she focus on these three things? So the late great Rav Shimon Schwab learns a very valuable lesson from Chazal. The tshuva begins from the stirrings in any part of the person that still remains wholesome. While her reputation was known, Rachav still had room to consider the busha, the embarrassment of the Canaanite men, who might not visit her through the front door. Other people, too, do not become stirred to tshuva by hearing how small and useless we are. Instead, they're stirred to by the greatness of the neshama, and how these behaviors are not becoming the godly souls we possess. What we need to remember is Elokai neshama shenasata b'taorehi, and when we act in a manner that doesn't highlight that, then that causes us the grave distress. Our job is to do the opposite, to take advantage of the chances that we get, and Be'ezus Hashem, by doing so, we will not only have a Shabbat Shalom, but the greatest of all Shabbosos, a great experience that will be lead us to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos, Umnu Chalach Haye Olamim, Shabbat Shalom to all.